Hey everyone, this is Jim, producer of the Around the House Show podcast. If you're listening right now, you already know we bring you the best tips, tricks, and expert advice to fix, upgrade, and maintain everything in your home without the headaches or the huge bills. But if you're catching us on the radio or borrowing a friend's phone, you're missing out on new episodes dropping straight to your device every week. So do yourself a favor, hit pause for just a second, grab your phone, and subscribe to Around the House Show on your favorite podcast player. Whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, or wherever you listen. It's completely free, and you'll never miss an episode again. Thanks for supporting the show. Now let's get back to making your house work for you. Today on Around the House, we have Cam Anderson from Blacktail Studio and Blacktail Ranch.
So I made a video, one of my earlier ones, and I did these really fine bow tie inlays, and I cracked one when it went in, and it got all the way in, and it was just like this hairline crack, and I was like, oh, I kind of like put some glue in there, and I was like, that sucks, but it's fine. And I made the video, and this was, again, pretty early when my videos maybe would get 40, 50, 100,000 views, and it got like 2.5 million views, and people hammered me for like trying to kind of like hide this. And I was like, I was so embarrassed because they're right. And I was just like, never again. And I'm just like, everything and then some, I try to lean in and show people that like, this is how it is. And this is where I screwed up. And it's since then, it's people really resonated with it and seem to love that stuff.
From home repairs to smart home technology, this is Around the House, your national source for real answers to your home improvement questions. Joining us today are host Era G and co-host John Dudley. Whether you're listening on the radio, watching on YouTube, or streaming the podcast, they're diving into the projects, problems, and pro tips that save you time and money. Visit them online anytime at aroundthehouseonline.com. And now, here's Era G.
Welcome to the Around the House Show, your trusted source for everything about your home. Thanks for joining us today. John Dudley, good to see you, brother.
What's happening, man? Another new day.
Another new day and another fun one. We got my buddy, almost my trauma buddy too this last year, Cam Anderson, Blacktail Studio and Blacktail Ranch. The one, the only. Welcome to Around the House, my friend.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This is going to be fun, man. You and I have had quite the year this year.
Yes, we have.
Somewhat mirrored in some weird ways too.
Yeah. Good and bad.
Well, and it kind of all works out for good in the end, which is the hilarious part of it all. You know, there's darkness, there's light. And so, John, get you up to speed.
Yeah, you told me it was going to get better. And it was hard to believe at the time, but no, you're right.
The light comes shining in. So about the same time, Cam and I were going through divorces last year. And I came out and went, man, I'm going through this. And then you're going, man, I'm going through this. And it was like, within weeks of each other, it was pretty crazy how that stuff happens. And we both were navigating that through the fall last year. So it was pretty wild, but it's created some great content for you and your channel outside of just building beautiful furniture.
I've had a handful of people, because I'll build furniture, then give various aspects of my personal life in there. And I had a few people tell me that the woodworking is getting in the way of their dating show. So it's been pretty well received.
Nice.
Man, I think you are one of the OG people out there that were building cool stuff, and it was just dripping with honesty. If you made a mistake, you went, this sucks. How do I fix it? Where sure. Everybody else would never let that get in the way. You know what I mean?
I don't know if I ever told you how that started. You'd think that it started from me being an honest person, but that's not where it started. Ever tell you the origin for that?
No, let's hear it, brother.
So I made a video, one of my earlier ones, and I did these really fine bow tie inlays, and I cracked one when it went in, and it got all the way in, and it was just like this hairline crack, and I was like, oh, I kind of like put some glue in there, and I was like, that sucks, but it's fine. And I made the video, and this was, again, pretty early when my videos maybe would get 40, 50, 100,000 views, and it got like 2.5 million views, and people hammered me for like trying to kind of like hide this. And I was like, I was so embarrassed because they're right. And I was just like, never again. And I'm just like, everything and then some, I try to lean in and show people that like, this is how it is. And this is where I screwed up. And it's since then, it's people really resonated with it and seemed to love that stuff.
Let's take a moment and hit our weekly safety tip from our friends at Red Wing.
Hey guys, it's Eric G from Around the House with your crucial safety tip on proper tool storage. Because smart organization safeguards your tools and you. A cluttered workspace invites accidents. So start by organizing everything in dedicated storage boxes, cabinets, or pegboards for easy access and visibility. Always sheath sharp blades, like knives, chisels, or saws, in protective covers to prevent nasty cuts when reaching for them. Store your gear in dry, temperate spots away from moisture and extreme temperatures to fend off rust and corrosion that can weaken tools over time. Label drawers, shelves, and bins clearly for fast grabs. Rushing around in a mess leads to errors and mishaps. Whether at home or on a job site, this setup curbs clutter, and that's what causes trips and falls, while keeping curious kids out of harm's way. Make it a habit to return items immediately after use. Chaos breeds accidents that you don't need. From chisels to power cords, thoughtful storage extends your life and protects your limbs. Tidy up, tool up right, your workspace will thank you. Store smart and stay sharp. This project safety segment is proudly brought to you by Red Wing. Red Wing is launching their brand new clothing line, built for the way you actually work. Same legendary durability you trust in their boots, now in shirts and hoodies that move with you. Breathe when you sweat and stand up to the real jobs around the house or on the site. Comfortable enough for all-day wear, tough enough to keep you protected. Check out the new collection at redwingshoes.com or your local Red Wing store today. Red Wing, gear that works as hard as you do.
Man, it was groundbreaking.
Bad press.
Well, it's groundbreaking. You just never saw that on the channels out there of any of the creators. And I'm sure there'll be somebody that'll pop in and go, I did it first. Well, there always is somebody out there.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly
not the first, but it does. When something terrible happens now, I can kind of look to my video guy, Scott, and be like, at least the video will be interesting for this part.
Authenticity is worth 1,000 times more than some prefab bunch of nonsense you're trying to feed people. And I think everybody's realized that after a couple decades of social media. You don't want it dolled up. You want the real grit. You want the real story. You want real people in it. That, like you said, resonates with people for sure.
Yep, 100%.
And the funny thing is that this has now turned into this sub story that's almost become the main story around, especially with Blacktail Ranch. I mean, this has been so fun to work with you on this project because, I mean, you're an absolute craftsperson when it comes to woodworking and doing that stuff. If I was only half as good as you are building that stuff, it's gorgeous. But you haven't remodeled anything before, really. So it's outside of your wheelhouse, which I think really makes for an authentic experience for people out there because most people have it.
To be fair, I have renovated something. I just haven't done it well. I did like the kind of the flipper special first house. I bought a house in Texas for $92,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the like fill everything with caulk and do whatever I can. And since then, I've had a couple other not big renovations, but I've decided I'm no longer in the practice house paradigm where I'm going to like, if I can't do it as good as a professional, I'm hiring a professional.
Fair.
Oh, man.
And so it's been fun because the one thing is with the Blacktail Ranch, and if you guys haven't been following Cam out there, make sure you follow him because he's got so many different channels from the furniture side to the Blacktail Ranch where now I think your original intention was to buy a cool piece of property to put a shop on. And that use in the last 365 days or so is completely twisted.
Yeah, it was just going to be a location for my shop and I might rent the house out. But now living at the house, building the shop on the property. So it's also, we were going to do some very DIY type content on fixing the house up a little bit. But now it's like, let's make this thing pretty cool. Like talking with you where it's like, this can't be that cool. Look at the bones are kind of what they are. And you're like, hold my beer. I got this.
Absolutely. And it's been fun to kind of walk through this because it's really going on this natural progression of what a real project looks like. This isn't a TV project where in 22 minutes of a half hour episode, they go from planning to start to the finish part. We're still 6 months into the planning stage because of the twists and turns and budget realistic expectations and how budgets get out of hand.
Yeah, I wish this was more TV streamlined where it's like A, B, C, D, because now we're kind of the point where the project is flipped upside down and we're doing almost basically a teardown. And now I won't have any content for a year or more on that part anyway. And so I wish that I could fake it and just be pushing this thing through, but it's good in the long run, but it's going to slow everything down quite a bit, learning how much more I need to do.
Around the House is sponsored by Instabid.pro.
How long does it take you to put together a contractor estimate? If it's more than 5 minutes, you're probably losing jobs to whoever gets there first. We built Instabid after losing a $13,000 job because my quote was too slow. Now, I generate a professional PDF estimate, real materials pricing, real labor costs for your zip code in under 5 minutes. Painters, roofers, all the trades. Let Instabid.pro do the hard work for you. Try it free at Instabid.pro. Use code ATH50 for 50% off your first month. That's Instabid.pro. Code ATH50.
Beauty meets intelligence with Baldwin, engineered by Level Lock, where luxury hardware meets smart technology. All the timeless elegance of a traditional deadbolt. Now, with the smart system hidden inside the door. No bulky hardware, no visible batteries, just beautifully crafted solid brass. Unlock with your phone, keypad, or even a classic key. Let guests in remotely, seamlessly, every time. Advanced Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, and Matter compatible. Powerful performance without changing how your door looks. Security, convenience, and stunning design working together perfectly. Baldwin by Level Lock. Luxury unclocked. Check it out for yourself at baldwinhardware.com/level or your favorite hardware showroom. Yeah, and there's some content to be created here because you're working with the architect. If you haven't watched the video so far, to put it in a nutshell, you did a video here this last fall of, hey, here's the house. Or you walk through it and then you and I were chatting and I was like, hey, man, I can help you with this. Let's get this on track. Because now you were looking at, okay, I'm going to move into this thing. What am I going to do? And then we started the design process. But just like every project, there's things that twist and move around. The first thing that happened when you got the house, the new roof put on it. And so we start to work about the design. And we don't want to throw that roof away. All of a sudden, we get into it and start looking at it going, maybe it's cheaper to throw the roof away. Why are we taking a $15,000 section a roof and spending $50,000 to save it?
Yeah. And that's the things that I just don't know, where I don't realize what's possible when you the idea to me, not knowing any better, of cutting a roof off and replacing it. I'm like, that's $1 million minimum. But you guys are like, not that big a deal. It's actually going to save you money because now we're not working inside of these cavities trying to make everything work. And it's hard for me to wrap my head around that, but I'm slowly getting there.
Yeah. So John, as a contractor, you know this, we walked in and I was like, cool room, let's vault the ceiling. Do all the vaulting. Let's put a nano wall type system, big patio out to the back. Let's move the doors and windows and we're vaulting ceilings. And all of a sudden it's like, it might be cheaper to knock this down.
Right. You always end up there. If you're at all creative or at all handy, and have even an inkling of perfectionism, as some of us might suffer with.
Yeah, you, Johnny.
Very quickly can get to that point. I'm still stuck on I'm wondering if Cam needs a roofer for $1 million.
You thinking about coming back?
I'll take care of that for you, buddy. Yeah. One project, goodbye, Steve Martin.
So it's...
It definitely gets to that point where put it this way. You mentioned your first house in Texas, 92,000. One of my first flippers I bought for 73,000 in Bremerton, Washington.
Woo-hoo.
And thought, just doll this thing up. Literally tore the thing down to just one wall that stood so I didn't have to permit a new build. It's maintained remodel status. Yeah. And then you can ask Eric about how I hoist carriage houses top, second floor up into the air. Couple of posts holding it up going, hope the wind don't blow.
Wow. Yeah. It's the land of sketchiness sometimes.
Taking things too far. Yeah.
So Cam, we've been working through that and that's just working its natural progression. You've got now, if people haven't been watching this, we've gone through a couple of videos we looked at the prices that you had for the remodel, and the prices you got were very expensive. It was a, we'll call it a $500,000 remodel. Let's put it that way, which is insane when you're thinking about doing something within the footprint, budget wise.
Yeah. And that was, I naively was kind of in my back of my head was thinking 200 to 250 all in and all this, which at that price, it would make sense, I think, to do this. And then when it came to that much, I told you, first person to point out to me was my brother-in-law, where he's like, probably just rip that half of the house off and build whatever you want with whatever ceilings and whatever garage bays and mud rooms and pantries, which I don't really have. And I'm just like, couldn't get that out of my mind in bed, just thinking, oh man, I can have everything I want. And maybe it's not 500, maybe it's 600, or who knows what it'll be by the time it's done. But I can actually have what I want, being that I'm going to be here forever.
Yeah, you're building the most ultimate shop out there. I was driving, I don't know, what are those ceilings, 27, 30 feet high in that thing it looks like? I'm just shooting from the hip.
It's pretty close. It's 18-foot eaves, and so, yeah, they peak probably right around there.
Yeah, big, big steel building, lots of, your concrete pour looked massive. You had a huge heated floors. Come on, I'm jealous. I have shop envy there.
So let me ask you this, because I might have to blame you for not pointing this out earlier. My electrician was just telling me something when we were out there on site. It's heated floors. It's whatever it's called, the boiler gas powered heated floors. He did a job where they had heated and cooled floors with a heat pump. Have you ever heard of that?
I have, but I don't really have a reason for a, here's the problem. A cooled floor is going to be interesting because cold air stays low, right? So it's not going to cool the building, I don't think, like you would think it would. You're going to have cold feet walking around, but I don't know if it's going to cool the building like it would with AC.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be that cold. He said it gets the slab to about 60. So whatever that would do for it. But either way, heated should be good enough.
And, yeah.
But now I know that refrigerated floors was an option.
Yeah, I've seen it, but again.
And that's how it starts.
And that's how it starts, right? I would not have suggested that for you, because I think you'd have been probably, by the time you do that and look at that, then you got to figure out how you're going to move air around to kind of keep it so it's cool.
Yeah.
That could be its own issue. And maybe it's just easier to put an air conditioning system in there.
Fair enough. But the shop itself is everything I want. It's a little over 7,000 square feet. 6-inch slab, heated. Pretty simple, though. It's just a big rectangle for the most part.
Yeah, I like it. And that's kind of what started you down this whole road of buying that beautiful piece of property out there. It's about 15 minutes from my house here, which is cool for popping out there. But you've got so much building going on. That is a lot to juggle for a professional when you've got a whole crew that's being managed out there. You're trying to build furniture and do the YouTube channel, of course, and all the other stuff, as well as trying to deal with life, new girlfriend, and of course, all the rest of the stuff with the build.
Yeah. And that's where I'm usually pretty good at realizing I'm not meant to manage a construction site with things like that, where if I can go build a table, use that money and hire someone to do the job for me and then have money left over. I shouldn't be spending 20, 30, 40 hours a week managing a job when I could take that money and go do what I'm good at and probably do it for cheaper.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense. There's so many great lessons to be learned for people to watch that channel. And I'm having so much fun with you on that as well, because we're just cruising through at a realistic pace, which, of course, with your timelines of things, isn't optimal, but it's realistic. But I want to back up a little bit. How did you get from being a pilot to Blacktail Studio?
Hey folks, Jim here, producer of Around the House Show. You're loving the audio tips right now, but here's something new. Our full-length episodes and expert interviews are now on YouTube as video, so you can watch the demos, tool close-ups, and guest interviews, or just hit play and listen like a regular podcast. Just search Around the House Show on YouTube, hit that red subscribe button, and turn on notifications. It's free, and you'll get the best of both worlds, visual how-tos when you want them, audio when you're on the go. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app too. Thanks, and now back to the show. Hey everyone, this is Jim, producer of the Around the House Show podcast. If you're listening right now, you already know we bring you the best tips, tricks, and expert advice to fix, upgrade, and maintain everything in your home without the headaches or the huge bills. But if you're catching us on the radio or borrowing a friend's phone, you're missing out on new episodes dropping straight to your device every week. So do yourself a favor, hit pause for just a second, grab your phone, and subscribe to Around the House Show on your favorite podcast player. Whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, or wherever you listen. It's completely free, and you'll never miss an episode again. Thanks for supporting the show. Now let's get back to making your house work for you.
They were more related than you might think. Basically, pilots, if you don't know, have awesome schedules.
Most yes. of
them. I was a helicopter pilots do anyway. I worked 7 days on, had 7 days off for Life Flight Network, the air ambulance around here. And so I was like, I need a hobby. And we had my ex-wife and I had bought this house with a mechanic had custom built this house. So I had a 1500 square foot garage in a suburban neighborhood. And I was like, I always like tinkering with stuff. And I like never really woodworked other than like building 2x4 end tables in college or something. And I was like, I want to get into woodworking. And so just kind of got into it and then thought like someone had recommended posting on social media. So, okay, I didn't have Instagram, didn't have any of that. I had a terrible start. I literally thought you had to go ask each person, Eric, will you please follow my channel? And then go to the next person. And then I learned what a hashtag was, where people can search you and find you via this algorithm. And once I figured that out, I was like, I got this down. And so I was really diligent, posted every day and started getting a few followers. They got to maybe 10,000 or so on Instagram. I was like, all right, I got this. Let me try YouTube. And then started YouTube. And then I don't want to say it's easy. It's just, my recipe was always just don't post stuff that annoys me. And I think a lot of people ignore that, where if I'm a woodworking channel, don't post pictures of my dinner out to whatever. Don't post this. If this is the audience I'm going for. And took that to YouTube, and YouTube worked out. And then eventually had to 2020, had to pick one or the other. Just it's too much to do both, and decided to go full time at the YouTube thing.
Man. And the rest is history, but it's
so far.
Yeah. And you're just spooling up for bigger and better things. Talk about that shop making production easier for what you're doing. Instead of having all those different light scenarios from room to room and carrying stuff around, you've got the space. 7,000 square feet is the dream shop.
Yeah. And I can get multiple projects at one time, where before it was, if I have one big table, nothing really happens until that's gone. And if a customer delays shipping it for a week or 3 weeks, like they've done now, nothing really happens in that shop. But now get in the corner and just keep going, or have multiple big projects going at the same time.
Man, that is exciting. And that's going to be really cool to see how that works out, because now you've got the space. Now you've got all the cool stuff. And even your temporary shop is nice. Don't get me wrong. You spent a ton of money on that to get that dialed in, and it's gorgeous.
It's great too. And I think I can't remember if I've told you this or not, where we're going to build the offices out in there. Maybe you can help with some soundproofing ideas.
I have some great ideas on that, because I tell you what, I've been doing that in my studio right now, and it is about some 15, 20 feet off the road. And when every bus, school bus, truck goes by, you hear it. So I've been in the middle of working through that right now, and it's coming along really well. But sound control is actually not that hard once you get going on it. You can cover up everything up to just about being in an airplane flight path and get through that. So you can do a lot with that. And John, you did that in the studio upstairs at the carriage house, and it turned out great.
I did it there, and I actually, the Institute of Sound Technology in Arizona, me and Alex Otto built out like 8 studios across 8 different live rooms. It's insane what you can do, but it's also insane how technical and how expensive it is.
Yeah.
Just be forewarned, talking about tearing things down and yeah.
So he already learned that with what I would call the barn that turned into the shop. That was your typical
barn is a stretch.
Barn is a stretch. Yeah, it was I'll describe it to our audience out there. It is your traditional farmhouse shop kind of thing that started as one building, and then they needed a little more space, and they added on, and they added on. And I think even out back, they took an old walk-in cooler and had added on using parts from that, the metal and foam.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, and the roof that they added on was such a low pitch that you couldn't even really add a waterproof roof because it kept wicking back under even after my renovation. Yeah, and then yeah, the cooler part, and then horses living inside with concrete, and that was, and then there was just giant sections of the roof missing, and it was terrible.
Calf looked like a biohazard lab mold test gone wrong.
Yeah, bad.
It was black everywhere from mold. It was like a bad movie. It was like a bad movie. But man, you guys just cranked on that and got it knocked down. I loved watching you on your first excavator experience knocking that down. That was a cool watch.
I couldn't believe they let me do that. They told me, they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna have you knock it down. And I felt like a staged reality show thing where I was in on it the whole time, and I literally had no idea until we showed up that day. And I was like, no, they're not, they don't want me to do this. And then I got in there and I kind of nudged it, and then that's okay, that's enough fun. And they're like, get back in there, keep going. Then pretty soon I was just swinging that thing around and having a good time.
See, that's awesome. It was about the similar look on your face then of what your contractor did when you did that sponsorship thing on him in the kitchen. John, you missed that part. But it was, what company was that? Go ahead and throw it out there. So
yeah, basically the company that was sponsoring that YouTube video was Incogni. They do hide your identity online from people search sites. Anyway, to do this ad roll, I'd searched my contractor before the video and found out his family's names and his addresses and his past addresses. And I started rattling this off, and he just has this kind of smile on his face. It's like,
what are you doing?
That's asking right now. And then finally I was like, and this is an ad. And he's, oh my gosh,
he's going to punch you. He looked like his hair was coming up like, there's a gotcha here that you know something that I don't. And it looked like it was, I mean.
Well, I think I might have been talking, like giving his daughter's name, which is, all I had was family member names. But so if I understand if you're talking about some guy's, whatever, 6-year-old daughter or something, that might be a little sensitive.
Yeah.
This was kind of like the Adam Carolla, Skip Patel, catch a contractor, or the catch a predator look when they figure out who, that look of, where are you going with this?
Yeah, the advertiser loved it.
Oh, absolutely. I was dying. I saw that when it popped out.
And we bleeped all the information in the actual video.
Absolutely. So nothing was good, but I saw his veins starting to bulge and I went, this could go badly.
Yeah.
I think that was my favorite ad drop of social media in the last little bit. That was solid.
That was, well, yeah, when I came up with that one, and we actually lost his audio because right before that he adjusted his mic and pulled his mic out. So we had to, I told my videographer, I'm like, we don't get to lose this. We have to keep this. And so he pieced it together from my lab mic and then his mic. And it was, you could tell a little bit, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah, no, it sounded good. And it actually highlighted him kind of going, what? So that was solid. But really, man, I'm excited for your project coming up here on your house. And I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't want to get ahead of videos here too much. But
we can talk about it because it'll probably change by the time it happens there.
Fair point. This is remodeling. So right now, guys, we were talking before the show that he's waiting for the architect to come back on what the new build part would look like. We've done a lot of design work on the upstairs part of it, which might stay, might not stay, or roof could come off, hard to say, but trying to save some of that with what you're talking with the roof line changes on it to really take this from a, I don't know, it's kind of a mid-century-esque farmhouse and heavier on the farmhouse than it is mid-century, but it has some of those mid-century lines on the roof line. Mm-hmm. But
low slung. Yeah.
Big overhangs.
Yeah. Big overhangs, kind of, yeah, ranch house-ish, but the first rendition from the architect of the major teardown, half teardown, it's cool. It's a whole new looking house. And he did actually want to tear all the roofs off, which at this point I'm fine with, and added a 3-car garage, but enter from the side of the house instead of.
Oh, okay. He's fixing one of my biggest architectural things that I love to do is I don't like seeing the garage doors, if at all possible, from the front of the house.
That's what he said. He said it's a very, very track house type look. And he said, so he put those on the side and the big bonus room with an ensuite up above that. I think it was 12-foot eaves to the plus vault.
Nice.
really promising so far.
Yeah, that's sick. And that changes the entire feel of that house too. People are going to come by that had seen that house, what it's done a year or two beforehand, and go, wow, they knocked it down.
Yeah. No, the house he drew up, it does not look like the same house. And the part we're keeping is totally functional with the basement I'm in now, daylight basement, and then the upstairs. And then, but by getting a whole new roof and continuing it into the new construction, it looks like a purpose built, not an addition.
Yeah. And then it's going to be so much more energy efficient. And that's some of the things that when you're remodeling that you get into, because that was one of the things that I was worried about when we were tearing, if we were going to tear that roof off completely, is, all right, if we tear the roof off completely, now we're getting in such a remodel spot that code usually says, hey, you need to use 2026 building code, which means those 2x4 walls need to be furred out to 2x6. And now we're down the rabbit hole.
He didn't mention that, so.
No, but that's something that happens with, you know, and again, if you're not touching the walls down there, like in the basement and some of that stuff, but it's on that living room, dining room, kitchen stuff that I was worried about, that I was really worried about that part in there, going, those parts in there that we're getting into that we're tearing down to the studs and tearing the roof off, that stuff, all of a sudden they go, new energy code for this space at least, which isn't a big deal. It's quieter. It's sturdy. It makes engineering a little bit better because you're using bigger lumber. So there's a lot of pluses to that, but it just makes for a tighter house as well.
And yeah, that's going to be a huge thing, is just having 80% of the house anyway will be new, where new plumbing, new insulation, new everything. So it's not trying to chase old problems and galvanize pipes, which probably have some of that down here, actually. But what we can have new will be new.
Yeah. And the cool part, Johnny, to give you an example, we were talking about with the roof, is it's got at least stick built kind of a truss system up there. So it's 2x6s. It's not a full pressed on stud situation, but we're going to have to save that. We're going to have to rip the ridge line off of that down the middle, drop a beam in, tear off what was holding up the drywall down there. And that was going to be a pretty labor intensive process. You've done it before. It ain't fun.
Yes. No, it's not. Just the description made me go, ugh.
And then there's a lot of good stuff too in those videos to be talking about, as well as the difference between level 4 drywall and level 5.
Yeah, I was ready to drop an extra 10 grand for a number I didn't know didn't really do much for me in terms of what I'm looking for.
And you asked, you're like, what's the best drywall for smooth? Level 5. Of course it is. It also has the price tag that goes with it. And 95% of the people out there won't know the difference between level 4 and level 5.
And Christian, the guy you met, he was telling me, because I thought it was just kind of shining a light down the side and you don't see waves. And he's level 5, you can actually, like, supposed to be able to split a laser beam or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, my roller is not going to be that smooth of paint.
Yeah. Usually when you see level 5 drywall going in, they've got these light bars or lights and they're just doing this wide angle and they're just knocking it down. And really, they have to skim coat the entire wall. So it's a whole added step of skim coating, almost like plaster, and they sand it back down again. Where level 4, it's super smooth, but you don't have that extra skim coat, which by the time you have the nap of the roller and the paint on there, no one's gonna ever see any difference.
And I'd like to be able to touch it up someday in terms of, I put a hole in it or hung a picture and I wanna be able to smooth it out myself. And I feel like I'd have a better chance of smoothing out level 4 than some glass smooth level 5 that you'd be able to see my mistake.
Yeah, that's like trying to patch the side of a Range Rover. It's not as easy when it's that way versus.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your take on that, just, Johnny? I know you love drywall work.
I'm the guy that skim coats the entire wall and still I'm like, oh, that's a level 3.
You're a perfectionist.
That's why I don't do drywall. Yeah, you want to talk about sticking to what you're good at? I'll get too good at drywall, which I never wanted to do. But yeah, I was always a guy that skimmed the whole dang wall. And when you said that, I'm like, they'll skim coat the whole wall and they're lucky if they only have to do it once. You have to step back and go, it's just drywall, man. Right? Nap of the roller. And even with a foam roller, even with a silk roller, I don't care what you use. Yeah. It's going to leave a stipple. So just get over it.
Yep. Absolutely.
The bigger fish to fry in the world.
So Cam, what fun projects do you have coming up here on the horizon on tables and stuff? I'm sure your schedule's booked out for the next year or so.
Fun is debatable. 'Cause I'm working on the biggest it's the biggest table I've ever done. And people always comment, you say that every video. And I'm like, that's kind of how it works when you're like trying to do better stuff. So it is again, but that said, this is by far the biggest. My previous biggest was 13 feet and this one is 18 feet. It's the 1,000-pound slab of wood on this base. Wasn't super complicated, but it's been the hardest project I've done in years, if not ever. And I told the client it's for a corporate office down in Austin. And I told him we could do power in it. And he says, yeah, it was just to be determined, but this is all kind of new to me. So I don't know what I don't know on this. And he sent me some cool pop-up units. You've probably seen point pods. And I looked at the specs and go, yeah, those will fit right inside our base. No problem. But I didn't. They didn't give the specs on the flanges for them, which are bigger than this. A really pretty tight base, and then lining everything up perfect. And it was like I had to actually cut the bases, the metal bases apart, and move everything just enough. And we finally got it. But it's just flipping it over. I have two engine hoists hooked up to a beam that is over my rafters to flip this thing over. And that was one of those things we didn't know if the ceiling would come crashing down. Just moving it. And it's a bear, but we're through the hardest parts.
Nice. So now we got to design a rotisserie system now for you to do tables with, right?
Somebody was just commenting on that. And I never thought about, using a car rotisserie for a
table.
That's
what I was thinking. Maybe a car rotisserie would be a very easy way to do it because you could strap it to that and then lift it up and move.
There's probably a surprising amount of sag to these big tables because two of us can lift up on one end and we can lift the table, but it's still touching 9 feet down. So yeah, warrior
still
rotisserie would be not enough support.
And depending though, some of those rotisseries, depending on how they go, you've got that frame in there. So you could come in and build some kind of a system on there that kind of clamped from the outside of it down the side. That was almost a strengthening beam down the side that you could put some felt pads or something on to clamp it with, and then you would have something that would help with that. I'm sure we could design a way up to make that be cool and make it a heck of a lot safer for you.
I need nothing. Have you seen the Pac-Man machine that the guys are GL Veneer down in California have?
No.
It's got infeed and outfeed rollers, and it's a big hydraulic thing. It's painted bright yellow. It looks like Pac-Man.
Okay.
It literally just sandwiches it, and then the whole thing, like cylinder, like spins over. It's like some Chinese factory, and I think they had it custom made for flipping their tables, so they can flip a 30-foot by 7-foot wide table in 30 seconds.
Okay, that's cool.
It is cool.
That's cool. Yeah, you could always do stuff like that if you've got one of those big beam cranes or something over the top where you can drop two lines down and spin stuff around a little bit easier, but holy smokes, that's a lot.
Yeah, I think eventually I'll just get into something efficient with the forklift. I had a friend of mine, he made me a couple of custom, either upholster custom straps that almost basket the slabs from the ends.
Yep.
So it can't slip out of it. And that's worked well. And so I'll come up with something long term.
Oh yeah. That's kind of the fun of that, designing out processes for that and doing that, because you're having to kind of custom build everything for that just because there's nobody out there making it. Such a niche kind of thing. Now, people aren't moving 2,000 pound tables all the time.
Most of the shops that do that, they had 20 employees and they just call everybody over and they just say, everybody come help us turn this. And they do. And then everybody goes back to work where I got me and one other guy.
Scott.
Yep.
That's a wild one, but that makes sense. That makes sense. Any other cool features you're putting in the new shop? I'm sure you've got all new tools going in there.
I am talking to a tool company right now, and we might actually have a sponsor for some industrial tools.
Nice.
I'm excited about that. That's been we've been talking to them for quite a while, but yeah, it's a big 50-inch wide belt sander / planer, industrial planers, industrial jointers. Yeah, basically pretty close to industrial. Most everything is the goal.
Nice. And then you wouldn't have to take that out to somebody else to go do that stuff, which would make your life so much easier than trying to haul that out, because that just doesn't fit in the back of the truck bed anymore, man.
No, there's a big one, especially now. But even this, my last video, I had it was a small console table, but at one point it was too big for my 12-inch jointer, and I got to working on it and it was twisted. So we had to go drive 40 minutes to work for 5 minutes, then drive 40 minutes back. And then we're half a day into this 5-minute job. I just had this at my own shop.
Yeah, that's frustrating, especially when you're trying to keep that machinery going out there, because you've got a schedule you're trying to stay on with people's projects.
I'm still pretty fortunate, though, that one, I have a shop that will rent out time to me. on their big ones. Because if you didn't have that, now it'd be setting up a router sled or something to call day on.
Yep.
And so I feel more fortunate than most, but still could always be better.
So I want to ask you before we run out of time here, I want to ask you finishing. You have your way of finishing. What is your favorite way to finish walnut these days?
I've gone all in on the LED UV cured finishes. I'm sure you've seen those.
Yeah.
And the ones that I use are hard wax oils. They're getting more and more popular in the States. They were big on floors in Europe for a long time. And I've been using the non-UV ones for years. And then about maybe even 2 years ago, I've switched over to a UV cured one. And I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about this or not. I was just talking to my partner with this, but we're developing our own.
Nice.
The problem is I have a $2,000 light that it takes to cure this. And you can also use the sunlight, but even the sun isn't quite as powerful as these lights. So we're working with a chemical company that's going to do a dual cure where it can be cured with a light or through oxidization. So you want to just put it on like normal finish, like a Rubio Monaco, you can do that. Or if you want to put it on the sun or do this, you can, or with the light, and you click cure it that way. And the guy, one of the guys I'm working with, he's talking to me yesterday. He's like, I'm terrified of why nobody else is doing this. He's like, this is so obvious that somebody needs to be doing this and nobody is. And I was like, I think they're just comfortable with what they have. They're like, why do we need to re-educate everybody and have this new product and this new space? We're selling products, so why do we care? But we're doing
it. I agree with that because I've worked with cabinet companies for 30 plus years. And I have been in the conversations with finishes where the Sherwin-Williams finish guy is in there talking about the latest finish. And it took forever for cabinetry finishes 30 years ago to even switch out a lacquer, even though that there were so many better finishes out there. It's what we do. It's all we do. Blah, 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 blah. And you're going to pry it out of their cold, dead hands. And then all of a sudden, conversion varnish. And then you're getting into flatline finishing, which is awesome with the UV cured stuff because they're running cabinet doors down a machine. And by the time it kicks out the other end in 2 minutes, it's finished. It's dry. Yeah. And there's less junk in the finish. You used to eliminate a lot of that stuff that can drop out of the air and show up in a finish. So to me, it's brilliant.
And that's where I think we're going to have some hurdles in, because one, these types of finishes are incredible on cabinets. They're just more, you only find them in luxury ones, but it's so easy to apply and there's no dust that gets into it. You don't have to have a clean room. And then if you want to refresh it in a couple of years, you can do that. Whereas if you get your lacquer or your conversion varnish and you scratch it or you get it kind of too shiny, is what it is. You're kind of stuck with it.
You're stuck.
That said, contractors, people that, why risk this going out to the real world? They're building a $50,000 kitchen for someone that might come back because they don't know this finish. It's going to be hard to get them to take a chance on a new product.
Johnny probably remembers this because he was working with me at the time. There was a time that there was a major finish manufacturer in cabinetry, and I'm not going to drop their name on here because I don't want the lawyers calling me, but they messed up in their build of a primer for the cabinets, and it was not compatible with the finish. So remember these? They were all these jobs that went out that had to be refinished on site because cabinets were installed, granite was in, and the finish, the primer was falling apart underneath. So it was crazing. It was doing all these things, but it was 6 to 12 months later after it fully cured, it was breaking down. And so I get that. And I saw companies spending hundreds of thousands of dollars once it happened, everyone, whoa, stop using the product. But it was a nightmare for the cabinet industry for about 2 years because it had to play its way out.
Yeah.
All you have to do is give that a name. You call that delayed distressed cabinetry, right?
There you go.
Yeah, there we go.
Like, no, it's a premium to do that.
Premium upgrade.
That's right. Yeah. Just like gouging a hardwood floor. You're like, no, now it's cooler.
100%.
I get the terror thing though, Cam. I can relate with you on that.
It's the marketing side of it. Absolutely.
A few different AI projects and that market moves so quickly, but at the same time, you're like, how has nobody got this built yet already? Like, and there's a lot of fit. You go to bed. I I don't even go to bed now because I worry. I just keep grinding because I'm like, man, how is nobody doing this? So, yeah, it's a real fear.
But it's like anything, right, Cam? There's risk and reward with that. It's one of those things that it's like, all right, and you don't know till you play with it.
Yeah, and I like taking big swings. For some reason, I have a really hard time thinking this doesn't work out, but if it doesn't, then go on to the next thing.
It's science. It should work out, but you just got to play with it and find out.
I know the product's going to work because this is it's a company that produces finishes. This is not like this is what they do. So it's not like it's not going to work. But in terms of whether it's too much for the consumers to wrap their head around or something like that, that's to be determined.
Man, that's going to be awesome, man. I'm excited for that. So
I'm too.
It's funny.
Too.
It's we literally were having pretty much exactly this conversation today, Eric. And literally, I said, swing for the fences, right? Those are the options. Do we trail this out for 6 months? Proof of concept. The concept's proven. I know it's worth it. I know it's going to work, just like you're saying. And I literally said, this or swing for the fences? Hey, Gio. Like,
that's funny. Same day.
You got to go for it. You just got to go for it.
Yeah. So cool, man. I'm so excited for what you got going on and the channel changes. And of course, the house is, I'm having so much fun with you on that over there, just kind of working through the twists and the curves.
I appreciate that because you're not making much money from me.
No, that's what friends do, brother. That's what friends do. So
you drew up the amazing kitchen that now that I'm tearing it down is going in the trash. So thank you for that amazing kitchen. And I'm hoping you're still going to be willing to help fine tune this one, the architect's drawing, to get the most the same type of idea out of it.
Absolutely, man. We'll have some fun with that. And that's my pleasure. It's fun to me. I spent 30 plus years designing. And now that I do media full time, it's nice to go on and go, oh man, I could actually do this again. So I haven't had the time to do it. I was doing that year after year after year until I got burned down on it. Now I'm like, wow, I'm having fun doing this for friends. Oh, it's nice not having Mrs. Smith calling me up at 6 o'clock on a Sunday night when I'm sitting down to dinner asking questions about should I change the moldy on my plans. I don't have to worry about that anymore. But with this, it's super fun to work through it with you and get you across the finish line when we get there.
You might have to worry about that with me. So don't count on that just yet.
Dude, friends, it's a whole different story. It's a whole different story. Johnny used to do that to me all the time, and we're still friends. So
good.
I get what you're saying, though, about that. I'll tell you what. I walk by. We got a construction building getting built right at the end of the street. And I walk by some days after sitting on the computer for 20 hours. I'm like, I just want to go swing a hammer, man. I just want to go. Just work something simple with my hands, moving my body. Yeah.
Do you get that, Cam, where you want to get back in the left seat of a helicopter?
Oddly, it's weird. I get asked that all the time. No.
You're good.
I'm good. Yeah. I wouldn't mind it, but no, there's no day where I'm just like, I want to go fly. I've done it. It's fine.
You've done it? Yep. Yeah. I get that. That's a whole different world, though. And I think that's why you pilots do so well with social media and some of these things, because you're process oriented, right? There's a checklist. There's things you have to do. And I think you're more diligent than many.
I don't know.
Yeah, makes sense.
I was the guy that skipped shit. Now I don't care what the FAA says about me or does to me. I skipped the checklist so many times. I was, maybe I wasn't the best fit for it.
You're in a bad shape getting in my hopcopter anyway. So my job's just to get in there. They'll be fine.
To be fair, I did the checklist. I just did it from my own system and memory instead of
100%. I totally get that. Yep. Everything's attached. It's fueled up. I've everything looks good.
Yeah, we made it a few thousand hours and no crashes to speak of, or we made it.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, Cam, we're running out of time. What's the best way for people to find you out there in your channels?
If you search Blacktail Studio anywhere, you should be able to find me wherever you social media, Blacktail Studio.
And of course, you've got your own products out there as well with some of your stuff. Let's hit that too.
Yeah, N3 Nano is the flagship. It's essentially, we're not, my chemists are going to kill me for this, but a ceramic coating for wood. Most of them are designed for cars. Don't put them on wood. This one is made for wood. And that's been far and away my flagship product, which is what led me into other wood finishing avenues that we talked about.
Yep. Awesome, man. That's great. We got to plan a dinner sometime. Get the ladies together. We got to plan that out.
Absolutely. Anytime.
We'll do it. All right. Cam, thanks for coming on today, man. I appreciate it. And just looking forward to the next few months and we working through the rest of the project, the planning part of it at least.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate it.
Call me when the roof's ready.
Get here. You got to go.
That's awesome. I'm Eric G. And for John Dudley, you've been catching Around the House.
Make sure you watch the video of the podcast on our Around the House Eric G. YouTube page when it releases Monday after this show airs. Thanks for tuning in to the Around the House show.
Hey, it's Eric G. with Around the House. Are you looking to grow your business? Need a spokesperson for your company? Maybe an MC for an upcoming trade show? Or maybe you want to up your game and shoot some promotional videos? My team of experts would love to chat with you. Head to aroundthehouseonline.com and fill out the contact us form, and we'll set something up. Thanks for listening to Around the House.